I'm thankful for God's goodness. We're going to start in the first chapter of Luke this morning, if you want to turn. But while you're turning, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, that we can depend on you for the future just as we have the past and the present. We thank you, Lord, that you are working for good, our good, for the good of those who would come to know you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning. We need your help as we look into your word, that we might make it plain and that it might be an encouragement to the folks, Lord. Make it an encouragement to your people. Help give us direction in the day and time in which we live. And we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. One of the things I study and the thing keeps coming back to my mind, one of the things we so desperately need is hope. We need hope to undergird us for the dark days we find ourselves in. Because we're at a time when there's not much going on around us that encourages. I mean, there's not much that you can look out and see that says, hey, this is great, the future looks bright. I mean, that there's not a lot of that, whether it's in the church or in the economy or wherever you look. But the real truth is that we have every reason to be encouraged. As God's children, that's the real truth. Things may not be good on the short term. We don't know. But this we do know. We know God. We know the very creator of the universe. This is God's world. God made it. He made all these people that seem so strong. They're nothing to him. God made everything. He made this world. And not only did he create this world, he created it with a purpose. God didn't just randomly get up some one day and say, look, what can I make today? And make the, no, he created the whole world, the whole creation, us on this planet with a purpose in mind. God had a reason. He had a purpose. He had something he intended to accomplish. And God will accomplish everything he intended to accomplish before he created the world, before it comes to an end. God's going to create, He knows the end from the beginning. He's going to accomplish that which he intended to accomplish. And when he's accomplished everything he intended to, then he will call an end to the world. In his time, on his terms, amen, it'll be God that brings an end just like God that brought the beginning. Amen. One of the primary truths, and we touched on it in Sunday school, one of the primary themes of the Bible is the kingdom of God. You can't help but read, especially in the New Testament, but in the prophecies of the Old, you can't help but see the kingdom of God was one of the major themes in the Bible. The truth concerning the kingdom of God ought to be an encouragement to us. It ought to both build our faith and confidence and our commitment to the work of God. It ought to do both. It ought to give us confidence and hope and faith, and it ought to increase our commitment to the work of God. And we're going to study on that. We're not going to get through everything this morning. Well, this may, I don't know from week to week, but I envision it stretching out into several weeks study in the kingdom of God. Before we get into that, I'm going to give you a synopsis, a little quick, brief overview of the kingdom of God. This is the way you need to place it in your mind as we go through this to understand. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is the place where God rules. It's where God's will is done. Amen? The final completion of the kingdom of God is the new heavens and the new earth. That's the final completion of the kingdom of God, where there'll be no sin, there'll be no evil, there'll be no hurt of any kind. God's will will perfectly be done. Only those who love God and do his will be there, right? That will be the final consummation of the kingdom of God. But when Jesus came to this world, he brought the kingdom of God with him. Amen? The Old Testament looked forward to it. They didn't understand. They seen through a glass darkly, right? They didn't understand. They didn't understand Jesus' ministry concerning the kingdom or his planting of the kingdom. But the kingdom of God came when Jesus came into this world. He established his kingdom then. It was as if the kingdom of heaven had invaded this time world. It started small, but it was destined to grow and to continue to grow until its final consummation. It came with Jesus' first coming, and it will continue to grow until Jesus' second coming, at which time will be the final kingdom of God, the consummation of that. Okay, that's the brief over. That's the overview you need to have. Amen? The Old Testament looked forward to the coming of the kingdom of God. That was the anticipation of Old Testament believers. There's an abundance of prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the kingdom of God. We may deal with those separately to show that this is a correct interpretation of the kingdom of God, but right now, for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to. But the Old Testament's full of prophecies concerning the kingdom of God. And when Jesus came, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah to come and establish a kingdom, right? That's what they were looking for. Now, they didn't have clarity on what that meant, but they were, but because of the prophecies, they were looking for the coming of the kingdom of God. Mary was told that Jesus would bring the prophesied kingdom. Luke, the first chapter, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary was told before Jesus was ever born that Jesus was bringing the kingdom of God. Amen? John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist preach? Two things, right? Repent, the kingdom of God's at hand, right? Matthew 3 and 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist came saying, "Repent, the kingdom of God is very near." I mean, he was saying, it's coming, very near. You need to be repentant and be prepared for it. Jesus preached the kingdom of God had come. Mark 1:14. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Several places. Matthew 4:17. "And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Matthew 4:23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Matthew 9:35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Luke 8:1, "It came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." This is what Jesus preached. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. Believe. And he equally used, believe the gospel or the good news concerning the kingdom of God. I mean, they were interchangeable because salvation and the kingdom of God, obtaining salvation and the kingdom of God were interchangeable. When Jesus sent his disciples out to preach, he told them to preach the kingdom of God. Matthew 10:7. "As you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give." Jesus himself said that the power he had in his ministry showed that the kingdom of God had arrived. Right. Matthew 12:28. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he'll spoil his house?" The law, and this is then picking up in Luke 16:16. "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Mark 9:1, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, There shall be some of them that stand here that shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. It's clear Jesus was preaching the kingdom came with him. He is establishing the kingdom. He said you're going to see it in its power before you die. The current people who were standing in front of him, he said you're going to see it before you die. Yep. Amen? Yes. Paul preached the kingdom of God. Acts 28 and 23. The king, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Jesus spent his days while he was confined there, teaching that the kingdom of God had come, showing it was Jesus that had brought it out of both of Moses and the prophets. I said he's used the Old Testament scripture to show Jesus brought the kingdom of God. And I said a lot of that. I know most of you believe that already. But I said that because I want you to see the scripture is clear. Jesus brought the kingdom of God into this world at his first coming. Because there's many, many today that yet preach that it's for an age after this, that it's an age when Jesus comes back again, and they are still confused, as Old Testament Israel was, as to the type of kingdom it was. Amen? But we need it clear in our mind, the kingdom of God came with Jesus. Well, then somebody's going to say, well, where is it? Why don't we see it? What kind of kingdom is this if we can't see it? Well, let's look at a few scriptures concerning the nature of the kingdom of God. First of all, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God denotes the rule of God. Amen? It's within us. It's in our heart. And then it's comprised of all those who have submitted themselves in their heart to the rule of God. It is the rule of God within us, and then collectively, all those who have the rule of God in them. Amen? It's not a kingdom of this world, in the sense of being a country or a state or a city. It's not Israel. It's not the Middle East. It's not Jerusalem. That's not the kingdom of God, folks. I know there's a ton of confusion on this today, but the Bible's clear. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom's not of this world. Amen. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is not my kingdom from hence. He said, it's not of this world. Luke 17 and 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Plain enough. Amen? Yes. We enter the kingdom of God by new birth, by being born again, by being saved. John 3:3, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter this kingdom of God. Again, Jesus is telling it, the kingdom of God is us submitting ourselves to God's authority, coming under his authority, and submitting ourselves in our heart, being born again, being changed from loving ourselves to loving him by the power of the gospel. That we then are translated into the kingdom of God because we've come under the rule of God. Amen? Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is the experience of being at peace with God and having God dwell with us and rule in us. Amen? Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We've been translated. That means changed. brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus, into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. Those are all interchangeable. Amen. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been changed. It's by salvation that we're brought into the kingdom of God. Notice that the kingdom was and is a present reality. It's not something reserved for the future. It's something we experience now in salvation. We see then that Jesus brought the kingdom of God into this world with His great salvation. That was the message of the Messiah. That was the good news. Amen? Yes. It's by the new birth, by salvation, that we enter the kingdom of God. It's the Spirit, and I know I'm repeating, but I want you to get this. It's a spiritual rule with God dwelling and ruling in our heart. The kingdom is within us. The kingdom of God is individual and spiritual, but then it's made up of all who have entered in to the kingdom of heaven. Collectively. The rule is within us. Amen? But collectively, we make up the kingdom of God on earth. And I'll jump ahead to a message that we'll do later. But the church is to be the visible expression of the kingdom of God. Where God rules, how His will is carried out. Amen. How we are to interact in the kingdom of heaven. How we're to live together in the kingdom of heaven. The church is to be the visible expression of the kingdom. And we'll get into some of that. That's why it's so important to have the right message. Why Satan works so hard to confuse and degrade the message of the church. Because it has a way of tainting the picture of the kingdom of heaven when he does that. This is God's world. He created it. He sustained it. As I said earlier, He created it with a purpose, and He's going to accomplish that purpose. For that reason, the kingdom is destined to triumph because it is of God and is carrying out God's purpose in this world. The kingdom of God is how God carries out His purpose in this world. And for that reason, it's destined to triumph in the present world that it has invaded. We know it's going to be triumphant in the end, right? The final consummation is a great triumph of the kingdom of God. When the new heavens and the new earth and those who have rejected God slip away into a lost eternity, we'll see that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. But in this world, the kingdom of God is also destined to triumph because it's God's world. And God is carrying out His purposes through the work of His kingdom. Jesus is now reigning and ruling in His kingdom presently. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man needs his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And that last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus is currently reigning. The kingdom of God is progressively growing and triumphing. Amen? Now, we now see it. We'll get into that later. But God is accomplishing His purposes. If you know anything of history, you know the kingdom of God has already had tremendous effect in our world. And it is much better place to be today, in spite of the nonsense going on, than before the kingdom of God came. And you may not be able to say amen to that if you don't know history. If you know history, you know that's the truth.
Yes.
God, Jesus is currently reigning and will continue to reign progressively until all His enemies have been defeated. And then when the end comes, the final enemy, death, will also be defeated. And the kingdom of God will be in its final phase. Yep. Amen? Delivered up, He said He'll deliver up the kingdom to God. The kingdom will continue to progress and triumph until the end. Matthew 13:31. Another parable He put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, But when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. He spoke this concerning the kingdom of heaven. What was he saying about the grain of mustard seed? He's just saying the kingdom of heaven had a very small beginning, a handful, but it was destined to grow into a great tree. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Again, leaven is a small amount of what you put into bread, right? You put the same amount of yeast as you do flour, it's not going to turn out the way you had hoped it to turn out. It's a small amount, but that small amount of yeast leavens the whole loaf. What he's saying is many, and you don't see it working. You may see it bubble if it's in, well, you ain't going to see it. You know what he's saying? The kingdom of heaven, oftentimes unseen, is working and in fact affecting much, even though unseen. Amen? The leaven comparison there is a quiet way that the kingdom of heaven worked to influence the whole world. I hear so much talk about a post-Christian era. Post, it means, you know, we have the phases they kind of go through, and here was the Christian era, and now in our enlightenment we're working our way into a post-Christian era. Well, this is God's world. There ain't no such thing as a post-Christian era in this world. Amen? He said the kingdom would continue to work. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He said, there ain't going to be no end to this kingdom. Amen? Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, and the top of the mountains shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hook. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The effect of the kingdom of God is peace. Well, there's still work to be done, isn't there? We're not quite there yet. Amen? And I don't care if you take this within the church or without the church, folks. We ain't quite arrived here yet. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding and the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteousness, his righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lions, and the fatling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp. The weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy my whole and my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Brighter days are ahead, folks. And I tell you what, you can interpret that as narrowly or widely as you want, and it's still brighter days are ahead. Amen? And the reason I say that, because as you look around, there's a lot of bad things going on around us. Our society is in trouble. This is how countries devolve, what you're witnessing. This is how they go down. This is how you're witnessing a society in decline right now. Our churches in the last 100 years have become apostate to a large degree. I mean, I'm talking about churches at large, but I'm talking about our circles too, folks.
That's right.
So we not get proud. We need God's help.
Yes.
When you look around, there ain't much to encourage us. But we can be encouraged because God's still in control. Sometimes all these things we cling to give us encouragement and to find safety and security in, there's nothing wrong in finding safety and security in those things. A good home, a good church, and a good nation and a good society are all good things that provide security and safety to us. Amen? That we ought to strive for. But when those are shaken, the foundation still remains, which is God. Amen? And I want you to understand about the kingdom of God, because God has a purpose in this world that He's going to fulfill. And He works through His kingdom to bring that. It's not just dependent on us. Because if you look at what our resources are and what we got, even collectively, church as a whole, it ain't going to get the job done. And I see many people who have succumbed to the error of the age, the fallacy of the age, which is called premillennialism. And that's a teaching that Jesus came to His own, to the Jews, and because they rejected Him, we have this little pause, if you will, called the church age, in which Jesus ministered to the Gentiles. But when He comes a second time, He's going to bring a sword, and they're going to shape up, and He's going to establish His kingdom in Jerusalem, and He's going to show people who's really in charge. Amen? And they'll rapture the church away. And then after this terrible turmoil, which to me, I don't know how you can have a war with Jesus that lasted more than a second, because by His word, He could slay everybody, right? I mean, we've seen. So, but anyhow, they believe the end of the Christian era will descend into chaos. Men will grow worse and worse. Society will devolve. And then, when it's at its worst, Jesus coming again and bringing His kingdom, everybody know who He is. I tell you what, too many of our own circles have bought into the foolishness of the kingdom in decline. That things must grow worse and worse. So this is what's prophesied. And we'll take some time, because those are not prophecies of God's Word. There are misapplied scriptures to fit the day and time in which we live. No revivalist or Church of God, early minister, reformer ever taught that. Ever. Amen. We've given in to the theology, because it's in, if you read a book of theology, if you've got a commentary, if you're reading, and that's how they're going to interpret it. And so many of our folks have bought into that because it's easy to believe. Because they look around and see it happening. Except just not so. I want to help us, first of all, because we need direction in the day and time we're in. More than ever, our labors in the kingdom of God are vital at this hour. More than ever, we need the fellowship and comfort and security of the kingdom of God. And we need, our world needs the influence of the kingdom of God. There is no other hope. I will say that until the plane crashes, but I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody you're going to elect. There ain't nothing we can do in the courts. There ain't nothing nowhere that is going to change this situation other than people's hearts and minds being turned to God. If they are not turned to God, we are a nation in decline, and that will continue until the end of our nation. I mean, it's going to be. There's only two alternatives, and that is to be revived or to continue down the slope that we're already on. And folks, let me tell you, it's, you know, as you watch people watch something circle the drain, the closer you get to the drain, the faster it goes. Well, that's what happens when societies decline. The closer they get circling the drain, the faster it goes. We have a task to do, a work to do in our day and time. But we can do so with hope, because we know this isn't how it ends. This isn't how it, even if this is the end for America, this isn't how the kingdom of God ends. This isn't how the work on earth ends. Amen? And if you don't know that, we're going to beat it until you see from Scripture that is the truth of the Word of God, and either the prophecies are not true, or we have a hope. Amen? We're going to look at some of the prophecies, and I've debated because there's so many issues we need to deal with. We're essentially down mainly to one service a week. We may pick up the prophecies and such in a evening service that's broadcast only. I don't know. Sometimes getting myself together is the biggest challenge, but you pray for us because we need help in the day and time we live in. We also need revitalized concerning the message of the church. The church is to be a visible expression of the kingdom of God. It isn't to be that we're just a church above all of the churches. That's nonsense. It isn't to be that we're special because of some other reason. No, we're part of the kingdom of God, and what God desires is His kingdom to have visible expression so people in this world can see what it means. And the church gives a visible expression to the kingdom of God. It's important how we live then. We may talk about living in the kingdom. Amen? What's our expectation when we get to heaven? How are we going to live when we get to heaven? Well, we're going to be happy. We're going to be obedient. Amen? Everybody going to do what's right. Everybody going to be happy. Singing. A lot of singing going on, right? Everybody going to treat each other right. Amen? Well, if that's church is a visible expression of the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is what we ought to be showing. Amen? Striving for. And the kingdom of God is where the rule of God, the will of God is done. Jesus taught us how to pray. What did He say? First thing He says, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That ought to be foremost in our minds. Amen? We ought to be living in the kingdom in the way that behooves living in the kingdom. Amen? Where only God is in charge. Amen? We'll get to some of that. But I wanted to start here this morning to implant in your mind this picture of the kingdom of God, where God rules, where God reigns, invading this time world, if you will, coming in small, but growing and conquering and destined to grow and conquer until the end. Amen? That's what I want in your mind. That's what I want you to see from Scripture. And then we'll expound on what that means to us. Amen? We'll expound on what that means in how we live. The message of the church. Amen? Message of unity, holiness, the message of only belonging to God and God alone, and how we ought to be living. Amen? May God help you. As you stand.